is to address needs to be discussed. This is an extremely difficult subject to discuss this evening, and one that I had serious doubts about whether or not I even wanted to bring it up. But it has happened. And as a minister of the gospel, sometimes we are not allowed to stay within our ivory towers and within our communities. But sometimes we have to talk about things that are happening in the real world, even when it makes us uncomfortable. And this event that has happened, I feel, is monumental. It is a turning point, I believe, and I hope that I'm wrong, in our society. This past week, the transition, or whatever it is that you want to call it, was complete. Bruce Jenner, famed Olympic gold medalist, has proclaimed himself to be a woman. This is nothing new. People have had gender confusion for a long time. But something feels different about this, as he is the highest profile individual who has ever done something like this to themselves. I hope that I'm wrong, but this feels like a major turning point in how society will view individuals such as Bruce, and also how they view the church. Because the reaction to this, towards this man, has been overwhelmingly positive. The President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, the leader of the most powerful country in the world, has come out in support of him, applauding him for what he has done. Major media figures have heaped praise on him. And I want you to catch this. This is a quote. That he is a strong example for all women. That's a quote. They have called him courageous and brave. Ladies and gentlemen, at this year's ESPYs, ESPN will be awarding Bruce Jenner their yearly award for courage and bravery. He will win the award over such people as a female basketball player who died of a brain tumor, of a man who was a tremendous athlete who lost his arm to a landmine while fighting and serving his country overseas. But Bruce Jenner is who ESPN will parade across their stage to, I'm sure, a standing ovation as being courageous and brave. The media is praising him. The world is applauding him, and the church is being pushed further and further into hiding. We have lost our minds as a society. Bruce Jenner is a man. No amount of surgery, no amount of makeup, no amount of chemicals will make him anything other than a man. If they were to test his DNA today, they would know that he is a man. If they dig up his bones in 1,000 years and study them, they will say, this was a man. Bruce Jenner is a man. He has always been a man. He always will be a man. And nothing will change that. But to refer to him as a man today is a grave sin in the eyes of the world. His new name that he has given himself has been the number one trending topic on all social media for the last couple of days. And anyone who says otherwise is assaulted, criticized, pushed away, referred to as being a hateful bigot. To me, it is simply amazing how common sense is tossed aside during something like this. Common sense. Just ask the question, folks. Will Bruce Jenner be celebrating Father's Day in a few days? Is he the father of his children? What will it say on his tombstone when he passes away one day? How will he be remembered? But the question that we need to address this evening is a simple one. We don't need to address whether or not what Bruce Jenner is doing is sin. It is sin, and we all know it is. Everyone knows it is, and you don't need convincing. What we need to ask this evening is, how is the church to respond to this issue? And make no mistake about it, as you have probably already seen if you've been to work this week, if you've been on any social media this week, this subject will come up. It will be discussed on social media. It will be worked or discussed at where you work. It will be discussed with your family and with your friends. This will come up. And the question is, how will we respond? We need to make sure that we respond to this in a biblical, Christ-honoring way. In order to do so, first and foremost, we need to remember the fruit of the Spirit. It's important here. We need to respond with love, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Whenever we rebuke the sinfulness of this world, no matter what it is, that is how we are to do so. We must have the right heart. Speak from the right place that desires repentance in the person that we are speaking to. Our natural response to this is to feel sickened, angry, frustrated, not only at what he has done, but more so at the direction that this world is going and applauding him for it. I myself could not sleep last night. I was up at 3 a.m. praying, tossing and turning over what I would say tonight. I finally had to get out of bed and take something to make me go to sleep. It was in my mind so much that I could not get it out. It has bothered me to this point. Now, all this is normal. It's correct response. We should be disgusted, not only because of what he has done, but because all sin is disgusting. All of it. It is all heinous in the eyes of God. But our first response, number one, our first response, before we ever talk to anybody, before we ever share anything with them, our first response should be to pray. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? But you know, so many times that's the last thing that we'll actually do, is pray. We should pray. We need to begin there. We should pray for Bruce Jenner. We should pray for his salvation. We should pray for his repentance. And we should pray that God would bring repentance to this world. Bruce Jenner is not a woman. He is confused. He is depressed. He is in need of help. And the help which he needs is not only some type of help from a counselor, a professional counselor. The most help that he needs is from Christ. He will never find the peace that he is seeking for unless he seeks it in Christ alone. Christ is the answer to what Bruce is lacking. So we need to pray that God would bring him to repentance and open his eyes. And then we need to pray for this world. As I have read about this week, and I've read comments, and I've read and listened to media reports. Yesterday I listened to, this has got to the point to where James White, great Christian apologist, was invited on national TV yesterday on the Dr. Drew Show, where he represented the Christian perspective, mind you, as opposed to four people who were applauding what Bruce has done. He was not allowed to speak. He was not allowed to give his response. He was interrupted. He was cast down. He was mocked. He was laughed at. He was, yes, persecuted, I would say, for having the Christian response. The only thing that he was able to get in, which I applaud him for, was to say that Jesus, who is God, rose from the dead and is the only one who is able to tell us what is good and what is evil. Amen to that. But I found myself angry at the other people on the show who refused to allow him to respond to the criticism which they were levying against him. But you know what? We need to pray for them, don't we? We need to pray for this world. We need to pray for those who support rebellion against God's design, rebellion against God's law, against his word. Jesus has said to us that we are to love our enemies. And notice, pray for those who are persecuting us. And if you come out in support of what the Bible teaches, you will be persecuted on this issue, folks. You can write it down. It will happen. And your response is to pray for those who are persecuting you. It is awful. This world is falling faster and faster each and every day. But Jesus, in the model prayer, instructed us to pray like this. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Notice, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our prayer. That's our prayer. That God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is easy for us to look around and be discouraged and want to give up and want to run somewhere else and go off to Canada or somewhere that we think we can escape. My parents were visiting last week and they were watching some show on I don't remember what channel it was on, Travel Channel maybe. And it was about these people who were buying private islands for themselves. Some couple went down to Panama and bought their own island in this house. They were alone on this island. You know, it makes you think you want to do that. Folks, I have to tell you, it actually wasn't too terribly expensive. I would have thought it would have been the millions. I think the price they paid was like $400,000. I would have thought it would have been astronomical. But so if you're wanting to escape, there's a house in Panama. Somebody will sell you for about $400,000. It's easy for us to think that way, isn't it, though, and feel discouraged. We just want to run and hide. But that's not what we're called to do, is it? When we get discouraged, I like to remember Luke 18:1. Jesus tells them a parable about the persistent widow, and Luke introduces it this way. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. When we pray, we need to pray believing, without giving up, without thinking that the world is without hope. We know that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse, but we also know what's going to happen in the end, don't we? Christ will come, and He will ultimately redeem this world for Himself when He comes. And we will be taken out of here. That'll be our true escape, and we are taken into eternal life. But now we endure. We don't lose heart. Do you ever feel like giving up, losing heart? Jesus' parable there is a reminder that we ought always to pray and not give up. God's will is being done in this earth, and we are to pray that it will continue to be so and that He will be glorified in whatever happens. Whatever happens. And He will. Randy said just last week that God will be glorified in every single one of us in one way or the other. He will be glorified in our salvation, or He will be glorified in our judgment, but He will be glorified. And we need to pray that be so. But it is truly sad to see what is going on in the world. But I have to tell you, it should not be surprising to us, should it? We are Reformed, folks. Some of us wear that title with a badge of honor, like it's some kind of pridefulness. We wear it around on our chest. We wear it on our foreheads. We are Reformed. But I find it astonishing how quickly we forget what it is that we believe when something like this happens. Because if we are Reformed, we teach the doctrines of grace. Included among those is the doctrine of total depravity. And yet, even though we believe that and teach it, when we see someone living it, it boggles our minds. It's like we forget. Total depravity is a true biblical doctrine, nowhere seen greater than Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. You all know it, but let's read it together anyway. He says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Folks, this describes the world that we are living in. Notice at the end, we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul is saying about the natural, unbelieving man that he is dead in his sins. And because of this, he follows the course of this world. That is, he does and obeys the direction that this world is going. He follows it. He is of the Spirit. who now works in the sons of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. That means that he is a slave, folks. He is a slave to the devil himself, and he obeys his master and does what he says. He cannot help it. It is his nature. Whatever his sin may be it Bruce Jenner, be it anybody, whatever the sin is, the natural unbelieving man is a slave to it. He cannot do anything other than that. He is dead in his trespasses and sins. Why then are we surprised when we see something like this? Why does it shock us? All of these things that he says here, I want you to notice something very significant. All of these things that he says about the world, and this is important. All of these things he says about himself and he says concerning the Ephesians. Did you catch that? Let's read that again. And you, Ephesians, who were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the Spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul says, as bad as the world is, we once were like them. The second way that we need to respond, folks. The second way that we need to respond to a situation like this is we must recognize that we are not better than Bruce Jenner. We are not more righteous than he is. The church must recognize our own sinfulness. We must. Bruce is a sinner in need of Jesus. We are sinners in need of Jesus. Your sin is different than his, but it is sin nonetheless. And you need a Savior, just like he does. As a matter of fact, in the letter that we are studying presently, in chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11 is key. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Notice, folks, such were some of you. And Paul could have included himself, because we all know that before Paul was converted and saved by the Spirit of God, he himself was a murderer. A murderer. Is that bad? Is that evil? Is that sinfulness? Is that worse than what Bruce Jenner is doing? Yes, I say it is. He was a murderer. He killed God's people. Jesus said he was persecuting Jesus Christ himself. He was a wicked sinner, called himself the chief of all. Paul was one. These Corinthian believers were defined at one time by these sins. And I look out at this congregation before me today, including myself, and I say that we are defined by this list. Your name, my name, is on that list. Which one? Or which ones? Folks, I have to tell you, I'm an adulterer, I'm a liar, I'm an idolater. I am the list. I was. And so were you. We were once defined by these sins. We once participated in them. And you know what? Sometimes we still do. When Brent was gone a couple weeks ago and I led the music, we sang the great song, Amazing Grace, and it's a great song, isn't it? The first line in the song reads like this: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." The word "wretch" is defined as a despicable or contemptible person. And you sung that about yourself. Do you believe that about yourself? We are all wretched sinners saved by grace. The only difference between ourselves and the rest of this world is what Paul said in verse 11, and that is that we were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That is the only difference. That is the only thing that separates you from them is the washing of Christ, of the blood of Christ Jesus. And that's it. Now, why is this important? Why is it important that we realize that we are on level ground with Bruce Jenner and every other sinner on this planet who has ever lived and whoever will live? When we understand how sinful we are, we will truly know that we are not better than Bruce Jenner or the rest of the unbelieving world. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:31 that we have nothing to boast about or to boast in save Christ and Him alone. The difference between ourselves does not lie in our personal morality or goodness. The difference lies only in Christ. And only when we really believe this will we be able to respond to situations like this. We have to ask the question, are we self-righteous? Are we self-righteous? Do we really put ourselves up above what He's doing? What was your response when you first saw it? I think it actually is up here. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. Luke 18 and verse 9, it's introduced this way. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Folks, we do that sometimes. We take a moral high ground as though we are morally righteous, better than the rest of the world. Well, Jesus tells this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One's a Pharisee, the other's a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing over by himself, prays thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, I ask the question, when we first read about Bruce Jenner, did you think to yourself, I am better than he? God, I thank you that I am not like Bruce Jenner. God, I thank you that I am not an adulterer, that I'm not even like this tax collector over here. Folks, I have to tell you, it is so easy for us to think that way. We are. We are like him. We are. But when I look at how the church responds to things like this, it appears as though we are not looking to save people. What we are looking to do is call them to our own system of morality. In effect, we are telling the world that they need to be like us, because what we do is spend all of our time condemning their sin rather than pointing them to a Savior. And when we do this, the world laughs. Rightfully so. They call us hypocrites. Rightfully so. Because if all we can claim is that we are on the moral high ground and they need to get on it with us, then we are hypocrites. Because we are not more righteous than they are. And when we do this, they laugh. It makes us appear as though we have pet sins that we major on while we neglect the rest. Think about it. How often do you talk about homosexuality, and then how often do you talk about the own sins that you struggle with? We do it, don't we? Don't we? We do. And they laugh. And so when we condemn Bruce Jenner, or we condemn homosexuality, or we condemn something like that, the world laughs and they point to our sin. And they find anything in us that they can find that is evil, and they say, see? Here you are telling us how we're to live. Look at yourselves. And they have a point. Because if what we are doing, folks, is calling the world to our standard of morality, even if it is the law of God, we're throwing the law at them and nothing else, then by that standard, we are hypocrites. I was told this by Jessica this week, this quote, but I looked it up to get it right. Todd Friel, host of Wretched Radio, said this week. Is it possible that we have become so obsessed with imposing our values on unbelievers that the world sees us as self-righteous Pharisees and not as blood-washed sinners? Have we been so consumed by the culture wars that we have failed to engage in spiritual battle for souls? End quote. When I read that quote, that is a time for personal reflection. Is he right? I think he is. I think he's spot on. What we are trying to do as a church today is impose our values on the world, not calling them to the Savior. And so we come across as the Pharisee of Luke 18. I'm not like you. You need to be like me. When our response to sinfulness is simply to throw the law at it, we are hypocrites. It's just to point out the sin and neglect the gospel. We are self-righteous Pharisees, claiming the moral high ground and demanding the world be like us. That is not the gospel. So finally, and most important, our response to this and to any other event that happens like this should be to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. We could respond to Bruce Jenner in one of two ways when it comes up this week. You and I will probably never have the opportunity to talk to him, though I wish I did. But you will have an opportunity to talk to your coworkers, to talk to your family, to talk to your friends, to talk to your children if they're old enough to understand. And you can use this opportunity in one of two ways. First, you could see it as just another incident that gives us the opportunity to get on top of our soapbox and yell out sinner while pointing fingers and accomplish absolutely nothing while doing so. Or we could use it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Folks, I'm sure you've already seen it. The discussion will come up in your presence. Our response, when it does, should be a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Bruce Jenner and the rest of this world's only hope to be freed from their sin. The world needs to hear this fact. I am a sinner who needs the grace of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ, just like they do. I am not better. I am not more righteous. My righteousness does not come in my performance, but rather my righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. His grace is available to all who believe in Him. He will save you from your sin if you repent and believe. That's what the world needs to hear, folks. The world does not need to hear, be like me. The world needs to hear, repent and believe in Christ and be saved from sin. I'm a great sinner. You are a great sinner. Christ is a greater Savior. And He can save you from whatever pit you find yourself in. No matter what it is, there is nothing that the Holy Spirit of God, if He so chooses, cannot penetrate and bring a man out of. Nothing. Do we believe it? We should. We cannot make the world more moral. Preaching morality without the gospel is legalism. Telling someone that they need to act a certain way, behave a certain way, do a certain thing, stop doing a certain thing without the gospel is legalism. So yes, tell the world about their sin, but when you do, point them to the one who can save them from it. To do otherwise is like talking to a starving man on the corner and saying, you know what? You really need some food. And then not giving him anything. What have we really done? You're a sinner. And then turning and walking away. What does that do? What does it do? Nothing. The Bible describes evangelism as taking the law to unbelievers. But you know what follows the law? Grace. So many times, folks, we leave grace out of it. This is what Paul did at Corinth, wasn't it? Corinth was a place known for debauchery. We've said this in this series that we've been in. To be referred to as a Corinthian was an insult. It was to be said to be behaving in a sexually promiscuous way. There were prostitutes galore in Corinth, as many as you wanted. They mixed sexual immorality even with idolatry. Part of their temple worship involved prostitution. It was the most wicked city in all of Greece. And how did Paul approach it? He did not go into the city, stand on his soapbox, and do nothing but condemn their sinful behavior. He did condemn their sinful behavior, but that's not all he did, was it? We read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What was the answer to the wicked place of Corinth? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What's the answer to this wicked country, to this wicked world, to these wicked people, to people who are chasing after what Ephesians 2 said, the desires of the flesh and of the mind? What is the answer? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else will do. That's our response. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This should be the response of the church to Bruce Jenner and this world when they praise Him for what He has done. We should preach from the rooftops, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is our calling. That is our commissioning. That should be our burden. Our first response when we see something like this in the news should be heartbreak over the sin of our own people and a burden to take the gospel into this world. We've got to do it. We're only seeing the beginning, folks. This world is going to keep getting worse and sliding into even greater immorality if the Lord tarries. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, says this: "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Promise. Why? Verse 13. While all evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Folks, that is the future of this world. Evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. What is Paul's instruction to young Timothy? He picks it up in verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings with which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." In other words, as the world goes from bad to worse, you and I are to cling to Scripture. As they mock and persecute, we don't lose heart, but we hold fast to the Word of God, which is able to make us wise to salvation. We proclaim it. We use it to teach, to reprove, to correct, and to train in righteousness, so that the church continues to be men and women of God who are adequate and equipped for every good work. We cling to it even when it's the unpopular thing to do, which in today's world, folks, it is. It absolutely amazed me watching that yesterday with James White on the Dr. Drew Show, and how one of the ladies who was praising what Bruce Jenner has done and was cutting down what James White was saying about Christ and about the gospel, laughing at him, had the audacity to say, "I'm a Christian and I don't believe that." Folks, the Word of God is being mocked. It's being mocked. We must hold fast to it. Hold fast to the gospel. And in the next chapter, Paul tells Timothy in verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Notice, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth, they will wander off into myths. That's the promise. It was happening in Paul's day. It's happening today. It's going to get even worse. Preach the word, though. Don't stop. When they won't listen, preach the word. When they mock, preach the word. When they persecute, preach the word. When it's unpopular, preach the word. And what is it that we are preaching? He says in verse 5, chapter 4, to young Timothy, as for you, suffering, notice, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Timothy, the time's coming when people won't want to hear. They're not going to listen. They want to get people that will tell them what they want to hear. But you still, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Take the gospel to those people who don't want to hear and tell it to them anyway. Our response is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. We must hold fast to the word. We do condemn sin. I want it to be crystal clear. Bruce is a sinner, folks. What he is doing is wrong. It is against God's design. It is evil and it is wicked. You know what? We are sinners also. And we do things that are evil. We do things that are wicked. And before we came to know Christ, we were defined by those things. His sin is different than ours. It is. But that doesn't make our sin somehow better than his. Can you be a better sinner, folks? Can you say that to yourself? You know, I may be bad, but I'm better. I'm a better sinner than Bruce Jenner is. Folks, it's ridiculous. We're all laughing at that. It's foolishness. Yes, he is a sinner, and so are we. And those who are supporting him in this world are participating in his sin, and thus they are sinning against the Lord themselves. We must tell them the truth. And that truth is that God will judge. He will. God will judge them in their sin. But we do not condemn them without the gospel, or else we are nothing more than a Pharisee. The world needs to know that you and I are sinners just like they are. The only difference is we have found the one who died for us. Really, he found us. Who died for us. Set us free from our slavery to sin and promises us eternal life, eternally free from those chains of sin. We must tell them that we are sinners. God has saved us by His grace, and He can save them too. He can. We tell them that they are a sinner, but Christ is a Savior who has saved even a wretch like me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace. Thank you for salvation that comes in Christ, because we are sinners and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, we thank you that you have graced us. Give us a burden to take that truth, to take your message into the world so that they themselves would be able to see and to hear the grace that comes in Christ. Open hearts, open minds and ears so that they can see the truth, Lord, we pray. We know that you have people in this world that have yet to come to know the truth, that have yet to be converted. We pray that you would use us to reach them. It's so easy to look down on a certain group of people because we somehow believe that their sins are worse than our own. Give us a burden for those people, a love for those people, a desire to see them come to know Christ. For even the Corinthians themselves were defined by all sorts of wickedness, adultery and immorality and homosexuality, as swindlers, as thieves, extortioners, and so on and so forth. The Apostle Paul was a murderer himself. We are all of those things too, whether we are willing to admit it or not. So we know that you are able to save no matter what the sin. that someone is enslaved to. And we pray that you would use us to take the gospel into all the world, to see them converted and to disciple them so that they can grow into people who make disciples. Lord, that's our calling. Don't let us be afraid, but give us courage. Give us boldness to stand and proclaim what is unpopular today, which is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Thank you again for grace. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.